Hey, Lenny, welcome to At the Hop with Kevin Bowles.
It's great to be with you and your listening audience, Kevin.
Lenny, let's talk about how you got started and became a lead singer of the group The Dimensions.
Okay, I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible because it really is a long story, but I'm going to definitely shorten it. Let's just say we were all members of the Melody Singers, which was an elite singing group in our high school, which was Christopher Columbus High School in the Bronx. And we were all members. We used to do auditoriums, perform for different functions for the school, for parents, like concerts, et cetera, et cetera. But one day, I and my friend Howie Margolin, who actually was the originator of the Dimensions along with myself, decided that we were going to, maybe try to do something in the way of doing some harmonies with certain songs or whatever. And that's really how it all started. Howie and I really wanting to sing together, singing some very popular doo-wop songs at that time. But it was just the two of us. And so we that was sort of like the beginning of our journey, and so that transpired into us getting Charlie Peterson initially, who was one of the tenors in the Melody Singers. Howie, let me specify things. Howie was a baritone. I was a second tenor lead voice, and Charlie Peterson was a tenor voice. So now you got three-part harmony, Kevin, and we asked after Howie and I did a little rehearsing, we asked Charlie if he would be interested in joining our little group, and he said, yes, Lenny, and Howie, I would be interested, and did so. And then we started rehearsing with three people versus just Howie and myself, and as we really, really got into getting more serious about wanting to try to do something, that was really significant. Both Howie and I decided that we wanted to bring a female vocal voice into the group, and that was something that we worked on. And there was a young lady by the name of Marissa Martelli, who was one of the best sopranos in the chorus, and loved to sing doo-wop. As a matter of fact, she would join us every once in a while, and just before the school period actually started or ended, we would go in the hallway or wherever we could find an echo, and Marissa would join us. So she was absolutely a no-brainer as far as asking her if she would be interested in joining the group. And may I say to you and your listening audience that the Skyliners were a great influence on us. We love the Skyliners. We love Janet of the Skyliners. We love that beautiful high soprano sound. And we also were very, very, enthralled with their harmonies. They were a little more sophisticated than a lot of doo-wop groups at that time. And that's exactly how we wanted to set up our group. And that's exactly what we did. We started rehearsing, with Marissa, with Charlie, with Howie, with myself. And then we came up with the idea of coming up with a very special version of Over the Rainbow, which, of course, you and your listening audience know we did. And the fact of the matter is there was a group that was maybe one or two periods before us. They were like the seniors at that time, and we happened to hear them do a very, very fast version of Over the Rainbow. And that's really, when you come down to it, that's really what was really our inspiration, to do Over the Rainbow. I said, Over the Rainbow would be a great song, but we're not going to do it fast. We're going to do it more like, a ballad, more like in maybe a doo-wop pop kind of mode. And that's when I started working on it. I am a piano player. I don't know how many people know that, but I was really the musician in the group. So I was able to, come up with the chordal structure along with Howie's help, along with Marissa's help. And, you know, that's exactly how Rainbow came about. My father, who worked at the famous Copacabana in New York for 25 years, was a great musician. And I actually asked him if he would be able to help us out with the structure. And he helped us with the middle of Over the Rainbow. Marissa came up with that that beautiful soprano part that she did in the middle of Over the Rainbow. And, you know, we came up with the harmonics. I came up with the chord structure. And as you know, you and your audience know, the rest is really history.
It truly is. Lenny, how was Over the Rainbow promoted? That was done on a small record label called Mohawk Records, am I correct?
Yes, you're right about that. A fellow by the name of Irv Spice was the president of Mohawk Records. And again, my father comes into the picture, because without him, we probably would not have had the opportunity to get a record contract, because I really knew nobody in the industry. You have to understand that we were only 16 and 17 years old at that time, Kevin. And, you know, we needed the help of a mature, well-known musician like my father, and especially working in the famous Copacabana. I don't know if you and your listening audience are totally aware of this, but that was the club in the United States. Of all the clubs in the United States, the Copacabana was the most famous, because that's where Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett and Tony Martin and, all the great performers were at the Copacabana, you know. So that venue had a very, very prestigious, a feeling about it. And my father working there knew a lot of musicians and knew some people in the record industry. So again, I'm going to backtrack a little bit and just say, after we really got things together and my father helped us a little bit to put Over the Rainbow completely together, I asked him if he thought that he could possibly talk to whomever he knew in the record industry to maybe come and audition us, or we would go downtown and audition for them, because at that point we were certainly looking to record and get hooked up with a record label. And my father did that. Or Irv Spice of Mohawk Records was a good friend of his. Irv Spice came over my house. We actually auditioned for him at my house with me playing piano in my living room. And Irv Spice loved what we did when we showed him our arrangement of Over the Rainbow. When he heard our voices or whatever, he said, "I absolutely want to record you. We're going into the recording session in 2 weeks." And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly how it transpired.
You must have been so thrilled to have to be on a record label at age 15, 16. That must have been an incredible experience, Lenny.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely. I mean, you know, being that young and having that opportunity to go in and record, you know, our, you know, very different version, as you and your audience know, of Over the Rainbow. I mean, Judy Garland, of course, had global, success with it through The Wizard of Oz, and, you know, and God bless her soul. You know, she did such a beautiful job. She was such a great talent.
And, yeah, it was, you know, like going.
She really just set it up, Kevin. But, you know, for us to have, she did it in 1939, by the way, which I'm sure you know.
Yeah,
it
was
the start.
Was the start of.
What is interesting, and I want to let you and your audience know, is there were about 80 to 100 versions of Over the Rainbow after Judy Garland had success with it through The Wizard of Oz, and we were really the only ones to have global success with it other than Judy Garland. So I'm very proud of that fact.
It's amazing, because Judy Garland came out like at the beginning of World War II, but I didn't realize there were so many versions of that song out there. I've always just put you guys together with that song. I didn't realize that.
Well, yes, and you know what? Until I found out about it, which was not too long ago, I had no idea there were so many versions either. I found out quite by accident that there were somewhere between 80 and 100 recordings of that song. And, you know, that made it even more special to myself and the original Dimensions, because, you know what? I mean, when there are that many recordings and you're the only ones that really had that great success with it, other than Judy Garland, I think it's something to be proud of. Wouldn't you agree with me, Kevin?
I totally agree. Now, when Over the Rainbow was hitting big, was climbing up the charts, did you do any TV concert appearances? Did you do, like, Dick Clark or
something
like that? Yes, we did.
We did American Bandstand twice, as a matter of fact. We did it once in Philadelphia, and I don't know if you and your listening audience remember this, but Dick Clark also had a Saturday night American Bandstand. Are you aware of that, Kevin?
I did not know that. I didn't live in those days, but I thought it was
You're too young to know that. Yes, I know that.
It was just a week, afternoon show. I didn't know it was Saturday as well.
Yeah, they had a Saturday night program also. So we did both Dick Clark programs, one in Philadelphia and one in New York City.
Another show, did you ever do Clay Cole in New York?
You took the words out of my mouth. I was just about to say we absolutely did do Clay Cole.
Yep. Let me tell you a story, Lenny. I met Clay Cole in July of 2010. I interviewed him in November of 2010, and just a few weeks before he died, we did this very lengthy interview. And there's listeners out there today that swear I was the very last. I might have been the very last person to ever interview Clay Cole.
Well, that's I'm very happy for you about that. You have that distinction, Kevin, and that's really, really great. And I'm sure you feel very proud of that.
I couldn't believe it when he died. It was just 2 or 3 weeks after I interviewed him.
You know, that's just the way life is, though. You know that. Your audience knows that. I know that. You know, we're very blessed to be on this earth, but we never know when we will, you know, when our time on this earth will expire. So that's why it is so important, you know, especially with the oldies. And I'm so glad that there are young radio personalities like yourself that have taken a great interest in the oldies, because you know what? When we're not here anymore, when all the groups that had that success in the late 50s and the early 60s are not here anymore, young, very, very important radio personalities like yourself are going to keep it alive, and I'm very happy to know that, Kevin.
Absolutely, Lenny. I know I've said this many times to my listeners, but I will say this again. I grew up listening to all these stations, the professionals like Cool Boy V and who we work with at LER Enterprises, a few other DJs, but then all these other oldies stations in the local area completely changed their format and left us with classic rock and all this other newer music, and it inspired me.
As a matter of fact, I was personally speaking for myself, but I know I speak for many other recording artists in the doo-wop era, and many other people, many other listeners that love doo-wop. I was very, very disappointed when CBS FM, you know, decided to change their format. And great friends of mine like Don K. Reed and Bruce Morrow and Bobby J. and others were like really just taken off the, you know, the airwaves.
What,
and, you know, they were no longer to be heard from. And that really, really hurt my heart.
Well, years later, I realized it was, let me tell you something, Lenny, because we used to have one here, WODS in Boston. Mm-hmm. Then we had another one, B101 in Providence, since I was on the Rhode Island. Since I grew up on the Rhode Island border, I got to hear two oldies stations, and when those stations were gone, a piece of me was gone, because there was once a time where you could flip on and you'd hear this music all the time.
Yes.
And it's just like a light bulb. It went away and inspired me as a young person to hear this music, and I ended up launching this radio show at 18 years old, and it's been my ongoing entrepreneur. I'm really trying to get bigger, and I'm trying to get bigger as we speak. And, you know, my critics tell me, you know, that I'm wasting my time. I'm promoting older people music. But in my audience, the majority of my audience is people of all ages. And I just hope I succeed, you know?
Well, all I could say is that, you know, I totally disagree with some of your critics or some of the people that say you're wasting your time. I never think it's a waste of time to, you know, keep good music alive. And I take my hat off to you. I admire you for your stick-to-itiveness. And, you know, you're a young man with a lot of foresight and a lot of, and you know, just someone who will not say no to that music. And you know what? We need more young people like you in the radio industry to continue.
Well, absolutely. You know, I hope with my young ideas and my young face that they might think differently. But even in a place like WATD, you see the changes here, and you see a lot of changes here. You know, you wonder if your time is going to be up eventually. You know, who knows how long I could be here. They could go with a whole other format. You just never know in this business. You know?
Yes. Well, a lot of times radio stations will do that. Program directors would make up their minds as far as ratings, I guess, go. I know that has a lot to do with it. And you know what? As your radio listening audience is listening to this interview, I would ask them from myself, you know, as a representative of my group, the Dimensions, I would just ask them to continue to request the oldies, because you know what? There's no other way it's going to stay alive. You know that as well or better than myself, Kevin.
And absolutely. And if I had to really thank someone, you know, I think highly of Rob Albanese. I mean, he's done so much for me. I mean, taking me under his wing very much.
And I'm glad to know that he's done so much for you. He's a great guy. And don't speak about Laura. Laura, I love his wife. I mean, they're just great people, and they really, really are trying very, very hard as one of the, you know, promoters out there and producers of oldie shows to, like, really keep it alive and really keep
Absolutely.
It going.
Absolutely. And what I like so much is, you know, they see the potential in a young guy like me. And, you know, some places don't see that, you know. My critics are out. They are among us, man, you know. They just don't see it, you know.
I know that. Well, I see it. I see your potential, and I see your passion, and I admire it, and I absolutely applaud you for, you know, having the stick-to-itiveness and the point that you have in just really wanting to keep it going.
Absolutely. Hey, Lenny, why don't we talk a little bit about Foxwoods and about the Foxwoods show?
Sure. Anything you want to talk about?
Do you know any bit of what you're going to be singing?
Well, I know one thing for sure. I'm sure we'll be doing Over the Rainbow, that's for sure, because without that, we don't, let's face it, that is our that is our ticket to any venue all over the United States and all over the globe, as a matter of fact. We've performed all over, you know, and Over the Rainbow is certainly the reason why. So I'm certain that we'll be doing Over the Rainbow. Most sure that we'll be doing My Foolish Heart, which was our second hit record, you know, that hit the charts in 1962. We may be doing Zing with the Strings of My Heart, which was really our second record release. It really, really didn't do too much for us in the way of sales, but it did get play, and all the oldies buffs and all those oldies, like fans and lovers of oldies that know us and know all the other groups really know the inside works of all of the groups and all of the singles that had hits. Even the ones that weren't really hits, they are aware of it, and they certainly look forward to hearing those songs.
Absolutely, Lenny. It's something I wonder sometimes when I'm at these shows or backstage with you guys. What is it like performing your same songs like 50 years later? Did you ever think you'd still be singing after 50 years these same songs?
Never in a million years, Kevin. I never thought I'd be doing it at this age, you know, at that, and I'm not going to tell you and your audience my age, but I'm sure you have a pretty good guess as to where I'm at, you know, chronologically. But you know what? I've always been the kind of guy that I never really looked at myself in a chronological way. You know, I just looked at myself as who I am and what I'm doing today and how I'm feeling. And as long as I have the energy and the desire and the passion to do it, I don't think age comes into play.
I asked Willie Winfield the same question at Led East. I was like, Willie, when you started Sunday Kind of Love in 1953, did you think 60 years later you'd be still singing on a stage? It's just amazing, you know, and there's still an audience. I mean, it's packed.
That's,
you know,
right. And what did Winnie say to you? Did he say very much of what I said?
Pretty much the same exact thing.
Yeah, you know, you just get out, you know, your spiritualism really keeps you going, you know, and you forget about age, you forget about chronological, you know, order as to where you are, you know, so to speak, and you just keep doing it, and that's why I say the day is going to come. I hate to, you know, like, reiterate this point, but the day's going to come when all of us are not going to be here anymore on this planet. And again, I will stress how important it's going to be for young people like yourself as a radio personality to try to keep this great music alive.
That's what I vow to do. What did you think of Lead East? I that was my first time there with Robin Lara. That's an amazing event, man. That's awesome.
It's absolutely awesome. You know, with all those great... you know, classic cars that people, you know, like fix up and put so much of their money and passion and time in. I mean, it's just like, it's like a one in a million venue. It really is. You know, it's very, very special for that part of it, and very, very special for the oldies entertainment that is so much a part of it also all weekend long.
You know what I promote all the time on this show? I tell my listeners in the Boston area, get in a car, go to Hawpaw High School in Long Island. Robin Lara's doo-wop weekend, oh my gosh, that's...
Isn't that amazing?
That's another amazing venue.
I'm very, very happy to say that most of the time, most years, we are part of that, Kevin. You probably know that.
Yes, I was backstage with you, I think it was the year before. But it's just amazing to be like MC with Cool Body V at that show.
Isn't it great?
Yes. I never would have dreamed that.
I know this is not really part of, you know, like giving you all these information or your audience all these information, but I'm very proud of the fact that two of my grandchildren perform on that very same stage on the Hawpaw High School stage. One is a member of the band playing violin, my oldest grandchild and granddaughter, Juliana. She actually has the honor of taking solos. She's a very good musician already at 12 years of age, and we're very, very proud. And I am part of that audience every time she performs with the orchestra, with her school orchestra. And my grandson Zachary, who is her brother, is a wonderful vocalist. He's got the gift. He's got that innate ability, which is really, I must say, threaded through my entire family, because my entire family, there's talent in my entire family. If I had a television program, I would have probably 8 to 10 members that I could bring on that program that have tremendous talent.
That's absolutely. Do they go to Hawpaw High School?
Not yet. My granddaughter Juliana goes to the middle school there in Hawpaw, which is really just across the street from Hawpaw High School.
Is that where you live, Lenny? Because I noticed your number is Long Island.
Yeah, I live in Commack.
Okay.
And Juliana and Zachary and my son Kenneth, who is their father, and my daughter-in-law Christina live in Hawpaw. They live maybe 5 minutes away from that entire area.
You know what I like about Hawpaw and Long Island? You guys have diners everywhere down there, man.
Yeah.
24 hours. Let me tell you something about living in Massachusetts. I live in the outskirts of Boston, man, but 10 o'clock, man, it's a ghost town. There's nothing open but these diners, man.
It's kind of like remote out there. Huh?
Absolutely.
You're in a remote area, but you know as well as I, Kevin, you know, coming to all of these venues and concerts, that Long Island has an abundance of restaurants and you know, you name it. And I'm not saying this to sound prejudiced, but you know as well as I that there's anything and everything you could think of out here.
Oh, absolutely. Even Jersey's the same way. I mean, the diner atmosphere, it's like every corner, you know?
You're right.
Here, we got some diners, man, but they're for breakfast or lunch. By 2 o'clock, they're closed, you know?
But I'll say something about Boston. Boston is a great city, a great town, and very, very well respected and well honored where you are and a lot of your listening audience or whatever. And, you know, even though I'm a diehard Yankee fan because I'm a Bronx boy,
oh,
you know,
boy, my listeners are going to hate
the Yankees out of me, you know, because I only lived 15 minutes away from the Bronx, you know, which was very close to where Dion de Belmont grew up also. Dion and the Belmonts were personal friends of mine and still are. You know, but the Boston Red Sox and, you know, the football teams, the baseball teams, you name it, there's a tremendous rivalry, as you know,
oh,
New York
absolutely.
And Boston or whatever. But I've been in the Boston area on some occasions, you know, passing through it or whatever. And let me tell you something. I'm very proud to say that Boston is thought very highly of here in New York also.
Absolutely. I'm not really into the sports things, but I'll tell you, Red Sox, Patriots, Boston Bruins, sports is just huge here. It's
unbelievable.
It's blood,
unbelievable.
Basically.
And you know, we have to thank God for the Boston area for bringing all those great sports franchises into play.
Absolutely.
You know? Because they certainly have had tremendous success. And, you know, again, my hat is off to them. Even though I'm a Yankee fan, my hat is off to Boston.
Hey, Lenny, unfortunately, I'm going to have to break for some commercials here, and I got to get some more requests going here. Can you just give us your website quickly, and then unfortunately I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Surely. Well, I just want to say, send my regards from myself and the group out to your listening audience, wherever they are, and God bless them all, and I just wish that they would just keep listening to you and all the oldies and keep it alive. And I could just tell you that if they want to go and see, where we're performing, they could go on thedimensions.com. That's all they need to do.
Absolutely. I look forward to Foxwoods, Lenny. A lot of my listeners will be there and see you live.
I'm looking forward to being with you also, Kevin. God bless.
Thank you so much, Lenny.
Okay, you're welcome.
Have a good night.